Right, to open your Bible, please, to Matthew in the very first chapter. Matthew chapter 1. Some time ago, I was in Los Angeles and I was talking with Dr. Carl Armington, probably known to some of the older people here. He's in his 90s now, getting on for 100, but he's still ministering in a limited capacity and just as effective as ever. But he said these words to me in his apartment. James, that's my Sunday name, by the way. James, we're living in a day when God's people are standing in need of a positive, comforting, constructive ministry. We've had so much negative, legalistic, destructive ministry. And coming from that dear man of God, my heart was strangely moved. A few months afterward, I was way down the South Island of New Zealand, ministering along with Mr. T. Ernest Wilson, known to, I'm sure, all of you here. And near the end of the 3 days' conferences, he spoke just in front of me. He said something like this: "The older I get, and the closer I come to meeting the Lord Jesus, I have an ambition. It is that my ministry will always be building, binding, and beautifying." Isn't that lovely? Our ministry is going to build and bind and beautify. And coming from this two men of God, right down to my own heart, that's the ministry God's living laid upon my heart even again tonight. I had another message on my heart tonight, really, but the way you've been praying, your exercise of heart has drawn me to these words. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." God with us. Now go across to Romans and the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" The words are, God for us. Now one big jump, 1 John, now that's the epistle, by the way, and not the gospel. 1 John chapter 4. Now, I'll tell you why I emphasize that. Because some time ago back in Scotland, a young couple were being married, and I was in South Wales, and couldn't get home in time for the wedding because a terrible storm had broken out, and all travel was completely grounded. So I sent a telegram. On the telegram I put, "Hearty congratulations, 1 John 4:18. Which reads, "Perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love." When the telegram arrived at the wedding reception, the best man looked up the gospel by John 4:18, which reads, "Thou hast had 5 husbands, and he was not thy husband." So they were most indignant with me for a long time, until my wife asked the maid of honor one day, "And what's wrong with Michael and Rachel? They're so aloof and cold." Well, so you know what Jim sent them on her wedding day? "Yes, 1 John 4:18. "Oh no, the gospel." "No, no, 1 John. So it's 1 John 4 and verse 16. Though. Verse 16. A very precious word too. "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God in him. So there you got them. God with us, God for us, and God in us. In the first one, we got his presence. In the second one, we got his peace. And in the third one, we got his power. Now we go as far as we can tonight with the first one, shall we? These are the words, God and with us. We're living in a day when we hear about the Lord Jesus so much in the abstract. Someone who died upon the cross 2,000 years ago lives in some place called heaven, millions of miles away, but we don't hear so much about him as a living reality, living by Spirit in your life and my life every moment of every day. And we sometimes pray, Lord, make thyself to us a living, bright reality, more intimately nigh than even the closest earthly tie. God with us. The last phrase in Matthew's Gospel says, Lo, I am with you always. Matthew 18:20 says, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Beloved, the Lord is here tonight. He's nearer to us than we are the one to the other. May we have that sensitivity, that awareness, the Lord Himself is right here in our very midst. And may we lose sight of each other and see no one save our beloved Lord Jesus, and may our hearts be irresistibly drawn unto Himself until we look up and say, O precious Lord Jesus, how lovely Thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart, break every fetter, Thy face let me see, then Thou shalt ever be precious to me. Way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and verse 14, Moses has just said to Jehovah, Whom shall I say sent me? The answer comes back clear as crystal. I am that I am has sent thee. And the I am's are all in capital letters. I am that I am has sent thee. That Jehovah, the self-existent one, reveals himself to Moses in the great I am. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God who came on earth to tell, dwell, who can all the story tell? Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. I am that I am has sent thee. Isaiah 41 verse number 10, Fear not, for I am with thee. There are something like 365 fear nots in the Bible. A fear not for each and every day of the year. I said that one day at a conference, a Hebrew Christian came up and said, Brother Boswell, you made a mistake this afternoon. I said, just one. Well, he said, you made one. And what was that? Well, you said there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. That's a mistake. So, well, how many are there, brother? He said, there are 366. I said, well, if you find one for the leap year, we can still rejoice together. Amen? So here again, the Lord says, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13 says, I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not. Across in Malachi in chapter 3, and verse number 6, we read, I am the Lord, I change not. Isn't that just precious? I am the Lord, I change not. Earthly friends will fail and leave us. The one day soothe, the next day grieve us. But this friend shall never deceive us. Oh, how he loves. Now going across to James chapter 1 verse 17, we read, Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow caused by turning. Why? I am the Lord. I change not. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. Back to verse number 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Revised Version says, He Himself, not Paul, not Apollos, or whoever wrote the letter to the Hebrews. I won't be dogmatic about this, but I'm absolutely certain it was Paul. And he says here, He Himself is saying, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And I like Weymouth's translation. It goes like this. He Himself has said, I will never leave thee. I will never, no, never let go. Now, isn't that precious? I will never, no, never let go. In the past, He brought us forth by His own right hand. This very present moment, He's holding our right hand, and for the future He's saying, I will never, no, never let go your hand. Aren't you glad He's holding your hand as He's holding my hand? Not us holding His hand, He's holding our hands, and He is saying, I will never, no, never let go. Are you the only Christian in your family circle? Not very easy to stand alone, is it? But you're not really alone. He who went alone through Gethsemane's garden, through all His blood, sweat, and sorrow, and anguish, and agony. Yes, alone. Oh, I know Peter and James and John were there, but they went asleep under the olive trees, while He went a stone's cast further on. A stone's cast beyond human sympathy, beyond human help, and beyond human companionship, and there alone He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That great battle was fought, and the victory was gloriously won. Now, the hand that holds you, and the hand that holds me, is referred to in Exodus 15, verse number 6. And it says, Thy right hand become glorious in power, thy right hand has dashed in pieces the enemy. My brother and my sister, that's the hand that holds you tonight and holds me. And it says, I will never, no, never let go. I composed a chorus on that verse recently. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But it goes something like this. Thy right hand, glorious in power, holds me this very hour. Dashed in pieces the enemy, I'm saved for all eternity. Yes, saved for all eternity. And your heart says, Amen. Isn't that just tremendous? Now back to Hebrews 13:5. It says, He Himself has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The author of that delightful chorus, which to me is the best in the world, to you who believe He is precious, was Mr. Arthur Smith. And he and I went to see a lady who just lost her husband at a place called Tarpon Springs, near Tampa, Florida. Mr. Smith said to her in his own sweet way, My dear, isn't it lovely to know the Lord Jesus says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Say, that's wonderful, Mr. Smith. What a comfort, what cheer that brings to me today. But he said, you know, Mrs. Smith, there is another version that says, I will never, never, never leave thee. I will never, never forsake thee. Oh, isn't that lovely, my dear, how the Lord uses five nevers. I think I see her. And hear her saying, she looked straight at us and said, If you preachers need five, once quite enough for me. Isn't that lovely? You see, she was living in the awareness. She had the sensitivity. The Lord was right there with her, the very life of her lives. Now, you take that verse again as it stands in the Authorized Version. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And just read it backwards. And what do you read? He looks right into your heart with my heart and says, thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. You see, it gives an emphasis, doesn't it, eh? I don't know why I'm talking like this tonight. I simply don't know. Someone hear me understand just why. And he's saying to you tonight, right in the very depth of your heart, thee forsake, nor thee leave. Perish the thought, never will I. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert its foes. That soul, the old hell shall endeavor to shake. I'll never, no never, no never forsake. And you remember what it says in John 10, 28 through 30. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man, the first word means, not even I myself, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, isn't that just tremendous? And he says to us tonight, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, going back, if you will, to Matthew's Gospel, now I'm going to quote now from chapter 20, verse 18 to the end. And these are the words. The Lord is standing in resurrection power and resurrection glory, having triumphed over sin and death and Satan and hell. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power invested in the Holy Son of God. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Disciple the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the consummation of the ages. Now let us go back. Lo, I am with you always. The late Dr. David Livingstone of Africa wrote against these words in the margin, these words. These are the words of a perfect gentleman who has never failed to fulfill a promise. I'm repeating them. These are the words of a perfect gentleman who has never failed to fulfill a promise. And he's speaking with assurance and authority, having spent so many years and blazed his life in the interests of Jesus Christ in the heart of Africa. I am with you. Amen? Are you in the good of it? Are you in awareness of it? Do you recognize right now the Lord is with you? And He is with you every moment of every day. Christ will never fail you in your hour of need. Though you lose your foothold, doubt your very creed. When the world seems shaking, crumbling into dust, He Himself remaineth faithful to your trust. Harder times may face you, change may be your lot. Christ will never fail you. Jesus changes not. He's a wonderful Lord, isn't He? And He becomes increasingly precious every moment of every day. The construction of the Greek text here is beautiful. I know what it says. The capital I the small with you, and the capital M. And reads like this in the original, I with you am. Now, isn't that precious? You see where you are? We're in the very center of that great I am. He's not only with us, He completely envelops us. He completely surrounds us. And nothing can touch you nor touch me without first touching Him. And it's not going to be for our good nor His glory. He will not allow it to pass. That's the God we've come to know, isn't it? That's the lovely Lord Jesus we've come to know. And He says this evening hour, lo, I am with you. I with you am. There is no lo without the go. It says go and lo, I am with you. E.P. gives you to say, there's no lo without the go. He got that from Dan Crawford in a book called Thinking Black. Go and lo. Oh, Jim, you spoiled it. You spoiled it. I thought that meant just for me personally. But it just means for the aristocrats, the missionaries, who leave their homeland and go to regions beyond. Not at all. It means you, means me, the rank and file. Oh, yes. And he says, you've had your quiet time with the Lord in the morning, and the Lord's drawn so near, made Himself so real and so precious to you, and the world becomes alive to you, and you go away girded for the battle of life into a new day, and you too can claim this promise. I am with you. Going right into the office, right into the lab, right into the hospital, right into the school, to the varsity, to the store, to the factory, to the plant, to the bench, out to the field, maybe in the fishing boat as a commercial fisherman. But beloved, you can claim that promise. Go, and lo, I am with you. Now, do we really believe that tonight? Because it's true. It is true. I'm going to repeat that little verse again I quoted a moment ago. These are the words. Christ will never fail you in your hour of need. Though you lose your foothold, doubt your very creed. When the world seems shaking, crumbling into dust, He Himself remaineth faithful to your trust. Harder times may face you, change may be your lot. Christ will never fail you. Jesus changes not. Now, in your mind, come with me to Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm going to start in, if I may, at verse number 26. Remember, we've been thinking, God with us, His presence. Romans 8:31, God for us, His peace. And then God in us, His power. Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He helpeth. This word helpeth is a very interesting word. It's what it means. He takes an end. He takes an end. Simon of Cyrene is compelled to carry the cross after Jesus. Spurgeon declares that Christ carried the heavy end of that cross while Simon had the privilege of carrying the light end of the cross. I don't know whether that happened or not, but I know in my case it always happens. No matter how heavy that burden, no matter how heavy that cross, He takes the heavy end, and He gives me the privilege of carrying the light end of that cross. All your anxieties, all your cares, bring to the mercy seat, leave them there. Never a burden He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Martha goes to the Lord and said, "Lord, carest thou not my sisters left me to serve alone? Better let she help me." What Martha's saying is just this: "Lord, this is far too much for me. You ask Mary to take an end. You ask Mary to take an end." Now get this: "He helpeth, he takes an end," the heavy end. Our infirmities, our physical limitations, our sorrows, our bereavement, the crushing disappointment, the financial reverse, the matrimonial problem, the family problem, the business problem, the psychological, philosophical problem. Here's one, my friend, who understands us perfectly, who is the answer to our every question and the solution to our every problem. He's not just a figment of the imagination, not just a mere figure in history. He's a reality living by Spirit with us, and he's for us. And hallelujah, he is in us. Do you know him like this? When the Apostle Paul said, "I may know him," that was not to know about him in theory or as a verse of scripture. Didn't Paul know him before this? Of course he did. Remember Galatians 1:16, he said, "And it pleased the Father to reveal his Son in me, that I may know him," a living reality, the very life of my life, every moment of every day. So it says here now, it says, "Healeth our infirmities, for we knew not." Now these three words have got to do with our understanding. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever thrown yourself across the bed, got down by the settee, and the tears have flowed right down your face, and all you can say is, "Oh God, oh God"? Those desires, you can't put them into words. All you can say, "Oh God." Well, just right there, the Spirit, my friend, who indwells you, it says it, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that knoweth the heart," such a heart, "knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Have you been there? Probably today? Eh? And the Lord is speaking to your heart right now? And you're responding, aren't you? Because verse number 28 says, "We know." Verse 26, "We know not." That's got to do with our intellect. But verse 26, "For we know." That's got to do with faith. And though we may not know, faith says, "I know." Now, all things, that word "all" means all. In sunshine and in the cloud. Adversity, prosperity. Yes, my friend, all things are working. There's motion now. And they're working together. There is harmony now. And we're going to not merely for good, but into good. Do you know what I saw just now? You know what I saw just now? Somebody just yawned. But fortunately, they covered their mouth up. You see? Right, a little further, shall we, in our meditation? We know that all things work together, not merely for good, but into good. Not to all men, but to those that love God. To those that are called according to his purpose. Go back into good. Your women are making a cake. I hope you know more about making cakes than I do, and I'm sure you must. But there you are, all the various ingredients, and they're all put in the mixing bowl, and all those ingredients are mixed together. See, I'm talking about the old-fashioned days when you use your hands to do the mixing. Before you get your Max Mix or Mix Max or Sunbeam, or whatever you call it, and they're all mixed through one another, you see. All these individual ingredients become part of the whole. another an even texture, no lump, no knot, and that mixture is being put in a pan already prepared for it and placed in the oven at a certain temperature, and the heat permeates right through the mixture, and then out comes that delicious, at least I hope so, cake. The end in view is a cake, and all those individual ingredients have become part of the whole. These things I mentioned a moment ago are infirmities, the physical problem, and so on. These are individual ingredients. And the Lord is pouring into the mixing bowl. And it's His pierced hand that's doing the mixing. And nothing can touch you nor touch me without first touching that hand. He won't allow it to pass. That's going to be for our good and His glory. And all these individual ingredients and all these infirmities I refer to are put in the mixing bowl, and each, my friend, makes them all together. And what is the whole? I'll tell you. Verse number 29 says, He's transforming us into the image of His own beloved Son. There we're being transfigured, changed into the image of His own Son. And as all these things to come into your life and my life where He sees the necessity, and my friend is using them for His own glory and for our eternal good and blessing, and He's transforming us, changing us in the glorious image of His own darling Son. See, as our dear brother prayed tonight, God is so satisfied with His own lovely Son. That's why He saved you and saved me. Not to take us from hell, put us in heaven by, not at all. He wants the life of His Son lived out right here now, through you and through me. Yes, and He's transforming, changing in the moral likeness of His own darling Son, that your life and my life may be an outshining of the indwelling Christ. That's why we pray, may His beauty rest upon us, and we seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channels, seeing only Him, not I, but Christ, in every look and in every action. I quote again verse number 28-29, for we know that all things work together into good, them will love God, them that call according to His purpose, that He might be the firstborn among the brethren, that we might be transformed to His image. And remember, whom He foreknew and predestined it, He called and He justified, and hallelujah, glorified. Five golden links in this golden chain which are indissoluble. They can't be broken, and they're all in the past tense. God sees you and sees me already in His own darling Son there right now in the glory. That's why I don't believe in this fallen away theory. Say, Lord, say, that's nonsense. It's not in the book. It's not in the book. Once you're in Christ forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. Now, I must leave you there. And I trust that you go back over these thoughts in your own moments and remember, He says, Emmanuel, God with us. I am that I am has sent thee. I am with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I am the Lord. I change not. I will never leave thee. I will never, no, never let go your hand. I am the same yesterday, and today, and forever. The heavens may be rolled out like a garment, brought together like a scroll, but thou remainest. Isn't that just beautiful? The joy that thrills my heart right now.